Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Join us for the Halloween Hullabaloo Blood Drive this Friday. That would be Friday the 13th at the Showwear Center down in Kent.
Is there any better date?
You head to KISW.com and sign up because there's going to be a lot of people going down there.
Yep.
And then you have a chance to win VIP tickets to see Hailstorm and Godsmack at the Showwear Center.
So do something good and get something good in return, man.
Absolutely. Hopefully you can stop by again, KISW.com. The blood drive going on from 9 until 3.
9 to 3. Okay.
Yep. Our question, what have you had to overcome to get to where you are today? 206-803-ROCK.
Here's a pick-me-up from the text line. Things I had to overcome. Parents divorced due to dad molesting us. Dad went to prison for a short time, convicted of child molestation. Mom remarried a man who severely beat us. Mom left him. Mom died when I was 13 from cancer. State put us back with dad since no other family would take us. Dad and stepmom hooked on drugs, so I slept on a dog bed in the basement until the septic tank backed up and I woke up in a pool of human waste. At 18, ended up homeless living in my car for a year. Lots of other things, but now I'm happily married with kids, a great job in my own house.
That is amazing.
That is everything impressive. About that sucks, man. Good God.
That's brutal.
Hello, Breck. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
How are y'all today?
Doing great.
Awesome. First of all, I feel like this question was made specifically for me because throughout my life, I have had the ringer of dingers going through everything and anything. Let me just first start. The thing that I probably would say that I have overcome the most is just going to college. Well, that's what I told Mike, but my family is crazy, man. I grew up with drug dealers, murderers, thieves, rapists. I was thrown into foster care at 9. I was molested at 9 to 11, adopted by my grandparents at 11, did that until I was emancipated. 16, got a job, did all that stuff, tried to do the college thing, but that didn't really work out for me. Ended up going into the Army, did that for 4 years, went to Afghanistan, got my butt kicked up a little bit, and I feel that that is what got me the motivation to at least be a C average student in college.
Hey, man, that's all you need to do. So you enlisted, then went back to school.
Yeah. After I got my 4 years, I did my 4 years, got my GI Bill, because I grew up dirt poor. There was no way that the only way I was going to pay for college was pulling out all those loans.
Regardless, man, even if you are okay, and you did okay in high school, and you didn't go into college, it's very difficult for anybody who takes a year or a two, even just in a normal situation, to start going to school after you've graduated by a couple of years.
Sure.
So the fact that, 4 years later, you still made it a point to go to college is a big deal. Because if you don't make that shift right away, a lot of people just never end up going at all.
How much did it cost? How much would it have cost without the GI Bill college? Because that's a big deal.
You can thank the Montgomerys for that.
I have 4 degrees, so let's start
Jesus.
There. Well, man, I had to not be my parents. My grandfather's getting out of the clink in 18 months for murder, and, I love him to death, but I don't want
to... Maybe he's a murderer.
He killed somebody.
Right, we understand.
He killed a pedophile, which...
But it's still illegal, but his heart is in the right place.
As I said, I love my grandpa. But anyhow, I have an AA, I have 2 bachelor's degrees, and I have a master's degree. On average, I think I went to community college, so the AA probably would have cost $10,000. Each bachelor's, I'm just going to guess, $45,000 a piece. So there's $90,000, $100,000 just for that. My Master's degree cost me roughly $55,000, so $155,000.
All right,
roughly. Well, that's just for education.
Right, that's just the education.
Housing, transportation, food, TP, all that stuff.
Now, were you a C student for all four degrees?
No, my first degree was, as I said, graphic design, community college, and I just skated by, more like D student, and then. Once I got to four-year college, then it was a little more stepped up because I had senior ability. I was a junior. I had a on-campus TA teaching job, so a lot of people knew who I was. And teaching people really helps you learn stuff better than just learning yourself. So
sure.
I think that's really what helped me be a better motivated student was the fact I was connected in
now
with all the teachers and just basically lived at school. So.
Are you, for the most part, emancipated from the majority of your family?
Yes, sir. 16.
Okay.
And so, what was your motivation? Because you said your grandparents adopted you at 11. What went down in those 5 years where you're like, yeah, I'm getting out of here?
Well, okay, so they were my great-grandparents who was born in the Depression, and my grandfather fought in WW2. His PTSD was so bad that in the middle of the night, he thought I was a Japanese soldier, and he would try to kill me.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
So, and he was getting up there, and he honestly needed to go to a retirement home, and I couldn't take care of him because I had to go do my thing and try to live, figure out my life at 16. And my grandma had just got diagnosed with Alzheimer's after a third stroke, and her cognitive ability had completely vanished. She didn't know who I was. She didn't know who anyone was. She would get violent a lot, and it was just not, at the time, I just had to get away because both my parents were on drugs hardcore, and they would just show up whenever and just steal from my grandmother, and all my other family members are no good, too. I'm the only white sheep in my family.
The white sheep.
Family of black sheep, you're the white one.
Okay. So, what is your mindset at age 16, right? All this stuff's going down. Everything leading up to that sucked. I mean, are you like, my life's going to suck, or were you determined, like, I got to make this better?
Oh, no, dude. I think at a very young age, I remember seeing my first person die at a very young age because some dude was like, hey, you owe me $50 for drug money. I'm not going to pay you. Bang, bang.
Damn.
And that really taught me a lesson about, hey,
pay your bills.
I can't be here. I just not pay your bill, money. I just can't be in this environment.
Yeah,
right. I don't know what it was at the time, but
probably the murder part.
My little town, and
so what do you do now, man? You went through all this stuff. You sound like a fairly upbeat dude. Is the best word to this conversation. So, like, what do you do now?
Oh, brother, I'm an electrical engineer that works on the electrical grid. Make great money, have an apartment, play bass guitar.
All right.
I have an F-150. I go camping all the time. I love the fact I was born and raised in Western Washington, even though my childhood and upbringing weren't the best. But, you know, methamphetamines and cocaine and all that riffraff are everywhere.
Yeah, you're right.
No matter where you go.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, good for you. That is impressive, yeah, dude. That really is.
Right? I would not wish that on anyone.
Yeah.
Good God, man.
4 degrees. What have you had to overcome to get where you are today? 206-803-ROCK. I couldn't get through 4 degrees of a belt in karate.
I got booted out of a college that my mom worked at. I mean, Jesus.
You got
man.
Kicked out of there?
I did. My mother kept approaching me saying, are you trying to get me fired? I said, I am not trying, but and I'm not doing anything to spite you. It's just I am who I am. You just happen to be my mother, so you're going to get a lot of heat for this. But, like, it's not intentional. But, yeah, I ended up getting booted out. I would have been booted out sooner, I believe, if my mother did not
sure.
work there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I remember I had to meet with the dean, and the dean's like, do you know why you're here? I'm like, this is like the fourth time I've had to talk to you, so I don't know what it is this time, but one of these times has to be our last time, right? And she's like, this would be that time.
But college, you don't have to go to every class.
You don't, so I didn't.
All right.
You know, and at some point, it's just like, look, dude, you clearly don't want to be here, which I did not. And I wasn't there making trouble. I was just there doing nothing. As far as the academics things, right. We got the lacrosse team. We got all these kinds of things set up for them. But that was good. But to like, But you don't have classes that make you do that. This is not working toward a degree. This is saying you can get stuff done when you put your mind to it, but you're not putting your mind to the things we're asking you to put your mind to, you know?
Yeah,
I have no problem. I'm like, dude, I get it. I didn't want to be here. This is a deal I made with my mother, so I don't. She's going to lose her mind, and she did. But I'm like, I'm not taking this personally. I didn't want to be here. I'm sure she told you that from the jump. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds ironic now, or kind of funny, but like, right, the first year I tried to go to PG Community College, like, I go to the classes a couple times. Mainly, I would just drive there. I'd sit in the parking lot, listen to sports talk, wait till class ended, go talk to my cousin. Then there was like a radio class that I would go to. Well, that was about it. And then I'd withdraw before I could get grades.
Yeah, I mean, there's just some things like clearly you are not built for this environment, right?
What have you had to overcome to get to where you are today? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. Apparently my olas were weak the last times I called. So
what did we say the last time?
PSA talk.
Oh, PBS. All right.
I started dating somebody around 19, and he was 29. So I mean, not significantly older, but more mature as a person. And I didn't realize at that point in my life, I had just literally graduated high school. Grooming.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But the guy was extremely abusive. You know, I ever did anything wrong every time I left, wanted to leave, he threatened to kill himself. He threatened to do something horrible, ruin my life somehow, some way, cause he didn't want to lose me. And, it actually did make my life kind of a living hell. I was able to make a couple bold choices. I eventually moved to Chicago. I think last time we were talking about how I worked at the TSA, and, I took that was a bold choice apparently to take that job to kind of do better for myself, kind of take a step out of, you know, just regular retail and stuff like that. And he didn't like it. He actually lost his mind about it.
But that you were working at TSA?
Yes.
What was the problem with you working at TSA? I mean, like,
all the penises you can see in the X-ray machine.
I mean, it's a steady job. You're on the Fed payroll. Like, what was his issue?
The fact that we had to move, and the fact that I was doing more successful. He was on disability. He didn't like I was successful at anything or making more than him. He wanted to stay in a little town in Indiana, but.
So I'll never understand that. If my wife said, baby, I just got a job that pays 10 times more than you.
Yeah. Great.
Let's go.
That is awesome news.
I'm fishing today.
Yeah. I don't mind being outdone. This does not affect my ego at all.
I'll have dinner ready when you get back, baby.
Cool.
Seriously.
Well, I will always attest to the people that they always tell me, this is bad. You're in a bad situation. But, you know, when you're kind of in it, it's hard to see what you're seeing.
Have you been in a different relationship to really see more clearly based on that?
Since, yes. But 5 years passed, it just got so bad to the point where I was extremely depressed. At one point, you know, I contemplating, do I even want to live anymore like this? Because the way he's making it seem, there's only one way out, and that was that. Eventually, I did find my way out. It actually did end up with him attempting to kill me.
Jesus.
To be fair, at least he was honest.
Yeah, exactly.
There's your silver lining. Yeah. Well, he wasn't a liar. Okay.
If everything was somewhat normal, other than the fact the guy's a groomer, even small town Indiana, would you have been able to, I mean, I don't know a lot about small town Indiana, but I would think that would rub on you to the point where, like, I need to do something else.
Yeah.
I need to find another place to live, another job. I mean, to me, just that alone. I mean, growing up in West Virginia, that was all we thought about.
Is leaving.
How do we get out of the state? How do we leave? Well, where can we get a job? This sucks.
I pulled myself, when I got out of that, I kind of pulled myself to, like, start doing better. Got a roommate. Eventually, that roommate became, you know, who I'm with today. As a more developed adult, I went from, you know, that period where I was just like, I can't believe I went through this. I look back at it. I look at all the things that I missed. I appreciate all the people that were there to raise me. I mean, I grew up in Texas. I lived in small town Indiana, but Chicago is where I grew up because those are where those people who pulled me into adulthood, who pulled me into realizing what is right, what is wrong, what was going on. And, you know, I live here in Seattle now. I've always wanted to my whole life. It was
a childhood desire.
Yeah, you know what, man? I went to one of my buddies growing up. He's gay, and I don't know a lot about the gay community in West Virginia, but there was this guy he dated who was like 27, 28 years old.
How old was your buddy?
Well, we're in high school. So 17 years old.
Okay.
So like at the time, I'm not even sure that we knew what grooming was.
You wouldn't know. I mean, if you're a kid and you knew what that meant, you'd be suspicious.
If you have a boyfriend or girlfriend and you drive, whatever the deal is, you just, like, I never thought of it that way. I just thought, well, you know, I don't know how big the gay community is in our town.
Sure.
So as far as the dating options go, but, you know, you realize, like, this dude is almost 30 years old. He should not be picking up Rod at lunch every day. You know, like, this is...
Is that what you were thinking then?
No, or
is
it, no,
you think it now.
Now, for sure. Yeah, but as a kid, you're like, good for you, man.
He drives a Fiero.
And he's 30.
Exactly, he's got money.
Yeah, exactly.
What have you had to overcome to get to where you are today? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, David. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, man.
Perfect. So I'm 37 now, but when back in 2008, when I was 20, I actually had a stage 4 testicular cancer.
Stage 4?
Jesus.
Yeah, that's going up to the neck, but then it stops at the neck. Lance Armstrong had it in his brain. I had it up to my neck.
Oh, my word.
Golly. But you don't even have a bracelet. So did they first
You can't even ride a bike.
Yeah, come on. Did they first diagnose it at stage 4?
Yeah, I was stupid. I was 20. It happens a lot with men, with especially stuff like this. They just take forever and don't tell anybody.
I do know that testicular cancer is mainly happening with men.
Are you trying to tell me that there were signs and symptoms that you can see and you didn't address it?
Not particularly, but I had a loss of energy. I felt like crap. And then what the kicker was, I had a lymph node, which is essentially looks like a tumor pop out of my neck. So it looked like someone like had a softball in my neck, essentially, while I was at work one day all of a sudden.
Damn.
And I was just like, holy cow, what is that? And I finished my shift at Washington Mutual, rest in peace. And then I went to the emergency room. So, I was diagnosed that night. Everything was super quick. I was diagnosed on a Thursday night, for instance. I had my first surgery on Saturday, and then I started chemo on Monday.
Damn. Wow. And are you cancer-free now?
Oh, yeah, definitely now.
How long did the process take before they finally gave you the, hey, man, they all clear?
It was April when I was first diagnosed, and it was pretty much next February or March where I was finally able to go back to work.
How does it blow your head open? You're going in because there's something on your neck, right? So you go to the doctor, and it's not that you have any idea what it is, but the last thing I would expect to hear, because of something on my neck, is that I have stage 4 testicular cancer.
Yeah, and that was it. It was just like, holy, yeah. My mom's a nurse, so she felt terrible. I don't blame my mom. I was a stupid kid.
But you didn't do anything. No one would assume that the bump on your neck is testicular cancer.
Do you still have your testicles?
Yeah. I've had issues with that. I can no longer have kids.
I'll give you one of mine.
Can you still have sex?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. All right.
All right, then you won.
You all lived at Washington Mutual.
Yeah, I just don't need protection.
That's a big bank, man. Okay, all right.
Oh, no, still wear protection, bro. Exactly. You can get some stuff.
Yeah, there's diseases, too.
Yeah,
my wife.
You're married. All right, I got you. Yep, screw it. You're fine.
Yeah, don't start wearing protection now. You'll give her the wrong idea.
I was going to say, Aaron, if you start strapping up, she's going to be like, what have you been doing,
honey? I don't want to give you what I got, baby.
What have you had to overcome to get to where you are today? 206, yeah, man, 803-ROCK.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
99.9 KISW. The men's room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Some celebrities you may not realize are affected by learning disabilities. Start with Jennifer Aniston. She was diagnosed with dyslexia during a routine eye exam for prescription glasses. A test showed her eyes jumping back and forth between words while she was reading.
Huh.
Diagnosis came as a relief to Aniston because she didn't know why she was struggling in school and thought she just wasn't smart.
Huh, okay. She's done okay.
Yep. Channing Tatum never considered himself very highly intelligent, partly due to his struggles growing up with dyslexia and ADHD, which made him feel like he did not fit in. Wasn't until discovering the performing arts that Tatum realized his passion would help him find his place in the world. He started his performing arts as a stripper in West Virginia.
Yes, he did.
Crawled his way out.
He's performing as an artist.
Yes, he is.
Selma Hayek, diagnosed with dyslexia as a teen, struggled to pronounce words, graduated from high school then at 15 years old.
Damn.
And began studying international relations and political science in college at 16.
She was struggling.
But the difficulty reading has caused her a few minor issues at times, but she fought her way through. Whoopi Goldberg, uncontrollable gas. Actually, she was diagnosed with dyslexia. She was called names like dumb and stupid. Who else? Tom Cruise. He is, quote, functionally illiterate, or he was, and had difficulty even reading scripts by directors, asking producers to help explain the character in the films he auditioned for. Then he managed by ad-libbing. That wasn't until 1986, the year Top Gun was released, that Cruise says he was able to understand his dyslexia and, with the help of tutors and learning specialists, learn techniques to problem solve, study, and leverage his creativity to overcome obstacles.
Well, I hope things work out for him because I know he's struggling.
Cher, reading difficulties. Steven Spielberg, dyslexia. Until later in life, he was diagnosed at age 65.
Really?
With dyslexia. So, Tom Holland, diagnosed with dyslexia as well. So,
I feel like if I had done Schindler's List, E.T., Jaws, Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, by the time I'm 65 and they say, hey, you have dyslexia, I'd be like, dude, I don't care. Yeah. I'm fine.
Our question, what have you had to overcome to get to where you are today? 206-803-ROCK.
Before we get to the phones, just one quick text that says, hi, guys. I just want to tell you and the other listeners calling in, thank you, because I'm in my thing, and I'm trying to get out right now, so you're giving me the strength to keep pushing through, so thank you so very much.
And VD, who happens to produce I'm Listening, mm-hmm. here for Odyssey Nationwide, which is an incredible show that we do once a year. He just wants everyone to know that I'm Listening this year will be September the 25th at 7 o'clock.
He felt the need to bring it up today.
Huh? Yeah, and there's a bunch of people who've had their own struggles, and a lot of celebrities that stop by and just kind of share their personal experience with things,
yeah.
and, you know, kind of how they had to overcome whatever they did, and it's a great thing, and Jason, he works all year round on this thing.
Yeah, literally, 364 days of the year he's working on it, the one day we actually play it.
Exactly. And then they fly him to New York to produce it.
He loves New York.
Yeah. They don't fly us anywhere. What have you had to overcome to get to where you are today? 206-803-ROCK.
I'll skip the flight to New York to just do work.
Yeah.
Well,
if you're going to fly us to New York to do a show,
yes.
Fine.
Right.
Yeah, he's not doing anything
he's
fun.
Working super hard right. when he's on the
plane. No. We don't work when we travel.
You might think we are,
but
we're not.
No. Fun first.
Fun first, yes. Hello, Aaron. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, well, I got a fun one for you guys. So
they've all been fun today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's the word I'd use, too.
Uplifting.
Fun.
Well, and definitely a couple more funner. But anyway, so my story is that I have no educational background, and I make a little over $100,000 a year.
Okay. What do you mean by no educational background?
Would you believe if I told you no high school, junior high, middle school, none of that, not even pre-K?
Did you get homeschooled?
Illegally, yeah.
Illegally? What do you mean? Your parents just kept you out of school and taught you what they wanted to teach you?
I mean, barely even that, but yeah.
Where did you grow up?
Actually, in the state.
Okay, and what was the reasoning behind? Was it just parents didn't care, or was there something more at play?
Their whole logic was, one's passed now, but their whole logic was, oh, well, we don't want you getting, you know, into drugs and whatnot. And, you know, they thought we were going to get bullied in school. But, you know, it was what they ended up doing was pulling us away from that life, right, where we could get a formal education. And when they did that, we also didn't have a lot of friends growing up. So you can imagine my social skills, along with everyone else, absolutely terrible.
Was this based on any kind of religious beliefs?
Partially, yes, but mostly just the fear of
the world.
You know, exactly.
So when you turn 18 and you're legally an adult, but you don't have, and like you said, screw the education part, but just socially speaking, you don't have any of the skills the rest of us picked up, whether we wanted to or not. What is life like in adulthood when you kind of go out into the world on your own?
For when I was 18, you know, it was like a whole new world as far as, you know, having to go out there, earn a dollar. Cause I was doing, you know, like lawn care or whatever as a kid. So I always had money coming in, obviously not a whole lot. By the time I was 18, I had to get a real job cause, you know, rent, had to help pay that. Moving forward to the present day, it's not so bad. I mean,
Did you ever get any formal training, or did you just learn as you took on jobs?
I just learned as I took on jobs.
Well, that's an education in itself.
It really is.
So. Yes.
What do you do now?
Yes. No. I'm an automotive technician.
All right. Okay. Very cool. Hey, look, man, you're never not going to have a job.
Right. No, absolutely. And, you know, at the end of the day, I hope someone could take my experience and learn from that, like, some guy with literally not even 1 ounce of a transcript can still do pretty well for himself.
What is the biggest gap as far as just, you know, is it math skills? Is it writing? Is there something or anything in particular that, you know, you still kind of have to work on?
Definitely math, but, you know, surprisingly, it doesn't come up a whole lot in automotive, but it does come up from time to time.
Yeah.
Okay. And even then, I've got a computer.
Well, how do you do it? Something like if you're listening to Big Dummy on our show, or if you watch Jeopardy, I mean, do you have any idea? Because 9 out of every 10 of those answers are some crap I recall from school.
So that's the beauty of it. So growing up, I did have the internet. So okay. This is not something I like to gloat about, but I did have to teach myself to read. Yeah, I mean, sure, she taught me how to, you know, pronounce the vowels, but I had to learn how to read by myself after that. Yep. And so when I finally got on the internet, I can learn about, you know, the social norms and things like that. So I wasn't, like, completely isolated as I got into the new world, as I'm going to call it.
All right.
What were you most excited to experience as you're getting up to 18, you're going to get out of the parents' house, you can finally go do your own thing. Like, what is it that you wanted to do?
Oh, God. You want to know what? I wanted to be in the military, but that didn't happen.
And was that just based on your education?
Yeah, pretty much.
So GED is required, I guess.
Minimum, because, you know, for GED, ASVAB 50 or high school grader, 25.
Yeah, see, me in the pull-ups.
You know, I never got that far. So, you know, at the end of the day, because when I was, even after 18, it wasn't until I was like maybe 25, I realized that I didn't exactly need the education. I was making okay money then. So it's only in the past, you know, year I've actually really been making this actual money, and, you know, my skill set has finally paid off. So I would like to get my GED one of these days, but
yeah, I mean, that's a personal thing, but you know, you make a good point, because a lot of things people bitch about, like student athletes, right, in college, and like, man, there's basketball players that barely have to go to class, blah blah blah. And I'm like, look, for some of these guys, it doesn't matter, because in the end, the only reason anyone goes to college, let me rephrase that. A lot of people go because they genuinely want to learn something, but also in addition to that, you hope to get a job or a career following this thing that you put 4 years into, right?
Yeah.
So if my kid had horrible grades, but he's going to get drafted by the NBA, I'm like, why does this matter to me?
Because he has a job
lined up, and he's going to get paid more than any of his eight. My brother, straight-A student, went to college, has very good jobs, makes decent money. Kid gets drafted by the NBA, 1 year he's going to make more money than my brother will by the time he dies.
The difference is this. It's like Duff McKagan. Duff McKagan grew up playing a bass guitar and made an incredible living off of it. And then went through, you know, whatever he went through, got sober, decided, look, the most important thing that I need to figure out now is taking care of my finances and my family.
Sure.
So he went to Seattle University and got a degree in finance. On the flip side, Adrian Peterson is now getting all of his stuff liquidated, probably one of the longest running back careers that I can think of in that position. other than maybe Herschel Walker.
Sure.
And they're basically going into his homes and either selling them, taking all his stuff, because he owes $9 million. So,
yeah. But at some point, that's stupid. If you can't figure out that math by fifth grade, I would say you have a severe disability because it's addition and subtraction.
I agree.
It's your money. Adrian, I hear what you're saying, but in this case, Adrian Peterson's stupid. Like, you are dumb. You've made horrible decisions.
Like, it's always, I don't know why, but like, Mark Brunell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Famous Husky, this and that. Yeah. But he was pretty famous. Like, he had a 4-year degree. He just was like, look, I made poor investments. Right? He's like, he took a lot of
outside advice.
Correct.
Right.
And so I'm with Thrill. It's just like, if part of going to college is to get a job, and somebody's going to offer you a windfall of money after a year, I don't see anything wrong with those kids being like, I'm going to jump to the league and start making that money.
And the other thing is, you know, when you make Duff money, I'm assuming how much you made off of Guns N' Roses in their heyday, or Adrian Peterson, or any of these guys get drafted to a sports team. When you have that much money, you're doing better than 99.9% of anybody else that you went to college with, right? I need to take a financial class before they do, because I don't have the resources they have. Like, I have to make ends meet. Right, so if anyone should take financial classes, it should be the people, I think, that have normal jobs to say, look, man, if you're bitching about inflation or price gouging or blah, 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 you go, fine. Look, like you were saying with your ledger stuff, like, for us, you know, people are living check to check. Like, maybe they take a financial class. Duff, I'm glad he did it, because he's a guy that wants to invest in other things. So it's also part of his interest. But like Adrian Peterson, like, you're an idiot, man. Mark Brunell, you got scammed. Adrian Peterson, you're an idiot. Duff, good on you. But, like, you guys had a lot more money to play with than anyone I know in my life.
Yeah, because you're talented at what you do.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Somebody just made bad investments. I mean, it happens to a lot of guys.
Sure, sure.
And also, like, Bernie Madoff wasn't picking on dumb people that didn't already have money.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. He had more money than they did, by the way.
Yeah.
What have you had to overcome to get to where you are today? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Wade. Welcome to the men's room.
This is Casey Kasem in the American Top 40, and we have a long-distance dedication.
You keep bringing the funny, Wade, every single week. Killing us.
I try. So my ex-wife, her daughter was a victim of shaken baby syndrome. She never walked, she never talked, she never ate food orally or anything like that. And when she was pretty much put on hospice, we got an offer from the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which support them. They're great. And so we got to go on a trip of a lifetime. So we went to Disney World in Florida. And I've always been, like, afraid of heights and stuff. But I had to overcome my fear of roller coasters. Not like the ones at the Puyallup Fair, you know, little blah, blah, blah. But, like, those ones that, like, corkscrew and they take you 300 feet up in the air, upside down, feet dangling over concrete and stuff. And so we did get and I went on my first one. I mean, I faced my fear, and then I loved it. And so we also, you know, had a front of the line pass or whatever. So I think I went on every single roller coaster at the fair there.
Was she able to ride the rides?
Some of them.
Okay.
And, I mean, it was like, I think it was the hottest spring on record. It was like, I don't know, 387 degrees there or something like that.
That's called Orlando.
And, yeah, and then I got into the first roller coaster, and it was one of those ones where your feet are dangling, and they pull this collar down over you, and they had it down, and I was scared, man. I was shaking in my boots, and I felt like I was a little bit loose in that roller coaster, so I like ratcheted it down like one more click.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't breathe. And I was going to ask the guy, hey, can you loosen this back up like one more notch? And then, then it just shot off like a cannonball. And, I mean, I made it through that ride, and then the adrenaline was there. And then, so yeah, I just had to go to the front of the line for every single roller coaster after that for that day. I mean,
I'll tell you what it's like. It's okay. There's a couple weird dynamics about the East Coast and the West Coast. Everybody on the East Coast knows how to swim. There's a pool in every community. People go to the beach. Here, the water's cold, so you don't really have access to fresh water as much as far as being able to. There are lakes. They're just freezing cold.
Right.
You know, where There, you can go swimming starting in like late May, early June, sure. when the pools open, all those things. And amusement parks are everywhere.
Everywhere.
So that's the other thing you did. If you didn't go to the beach, yeah, you go to the lake, true. You go to an amusement park. And they're just not as prevalent here based on how far away we are from all the things and the fact that amusement park needs to be open for at least 8 months, 9 months out of the year to sustain a profit. And you can't really do that.
Do you think we could pull it off in Eastern Washington, though, right? So Western Washington, you know, our summer's ending now. We get it. But Eastern Washington, I feel like there's enough people in the area. And I know it's a Coeur d'Alene, Idaho has an amusement park or something.
Silverwood? There's something over in Idaho.
But I would like one to be here in Washington State. And like I said, based on weather, maybe we just go east of the mountains because you are not kidding, man. Just as a kid, your parents, just to get your ass out of the house.
Oh, yeah.
Here's 20 bucks.
They drop you off. And then some of the other different parents would pick you up.
Right. And you're there all day. And again, they just don't want to hang out with you because it's summer and you're a kid and you're annoying. And your reward for being annoying was, I don't ride roller coasters all day.
Why?
I go down the log flume.
Look, one of the reasons that I learned that I was a pretty strong swimmer was because we had one of the first in West Virginia, we had one of the first wave pools in the country. So I'm 5 or 6 years old. They turn those waves on. They're not joking.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
They're pretty substantial. I mean, they were humming. And I became a strong swimmer just by going to the wave pool 3 or 4 times a week during the summertime. Because that was the pool I wanted to be in.
Yeah,
because you could ride
sure.
a wave in. They had flat pools. They had slides. They had all the crap, you know. But that was, man, if you could swim in that, then, you know,
you're fine.
You're good.
Yeah, the standalone wave pool, I never saw, like, I grew up near Wild Waves, I think it was Adventure World, and now it's like a Six Flags.
Yeah.
Some Landover. But I remember going to visit family outside of Pittsburgh, and they were like, yeah, the place we're going has a wave pool. And it just blew my mind as a kid. It was awesome. Because we always had to go to a park. But it was like, oh, this isn't just the Knights of Columbus pool. This place actually has waves.
All right, waves.
What have you had to overcome to get to where you are today? 206-803-ROM.
Hello, JD. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hola. Mm. So, JD, what did you have to overcome?
His phone was already kind of crapping out
and
there.
And he's gone.
A hearing disability.
Hola.
Hello,
hola.
Ed. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. Hola.
So I had to just overcome drug abuse and just prison and everything like that and to become who I am now. So well,
who are you now?
I make good money. I work in the union and... Just had to overcome life, really.
How long were you on drugs?
35 years.
35 years. And what were you doing? You're doing meth and everything else?
Meth, everything. I mean, meth was my drug of choice, but yeah, I had a good 30-year run.
What was it that made you finally just say the hell with it?
I got in the union and started making 50 plus an hour and realized that, yeah, there was life out there outside of drugs.
Not only that, but you get a pension. Your family's taken care of as far as medical.
I got in pretty late, so I've only been in for 7-8 years. So I still got another 15 or so to put in. But I'll get out when I'm 67 and, you know, I'll have everything pretty well in shape. I have money and money market accounts and stuff like that. I never had a dime to my name before.
Yep. That's impressive, man.
Me and my wife each drive brand new Jeep. One of them's fully paid off. It's actually mine. I mean, yeah, those things were never going to happen before.
No.
That's a good feeling when you do stuff like that. Yeah. Although I will say, once you pay your vehicle off, things will go wrong.
No, don't let your wife borrow the car. Let her drive her own.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'll do.
Until you pay yours off.
Yes, exactly.
As soon as we paid our car off, it's been back to the shop like 5 times. And we knew what was going to happen. We said, hey, here's our last payment, probably 2-3 years ago. And my wife and I looked at each other and I said, you know.
Transmission's going to go out.
Once we send this check, man, you name it, things have gone wrong. Yeah. I'm like, son of a bitch. But it's ours.
What have you had to overcome to get to where you are today? 206-803-ROCK.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's like your phone starts crapping out when the new one's out.
Oh, guaranteed. I feel like they do that crap on purpose.
I can't prove it, but I believe it.
I just feel like we're going to slow his phone down, whatever. Yeah. I think they would quit on me like, bro, he hasn't gotten a new phone in like 9 years. He doesn't care. Target his kids, yeah. Hello, JD. Welcome back to the men's room.
Thank you, thank you. I had to pull over.
What the heck? What's happening?
Nothing much. So what I was getting into was, I just had to overcome, like, really just a really crappy, like, setup for life, you know. Well, I moved out of home when I was 14 years old, and I've had to work work full-time since then.
Why did you move out at 14? What was going on?
So the reason why I ended up moving out was, so I lived in a three-bedroom house with 10 people.
Jesus.
I have six siblings. Four of them are girls, and they had boyfriends that would move in and out. And so there was 10 people living in a three-bedroom house. And what ended up happening was my oldest sister, who was on drugs at the time, thought I stole $40 from her. And I was like, I was 14. It was a couple days before my 15th birthday. And she thought I stole $40 from her, and she would not let me leave the house. And then she ended up calling her boyfriend, who was like 10 years, 15 years older than me, into the kitchen. And he just beat me up and down the freaking block. But that was like the moment where I was like, yeah, I probably should like get out of here, you know. So I got out, and I moved in with a girlfriend for about 4 years. We ended up breaking up or whatever. But I ended up being the first person in my family to graduate high school. I'm the first person in my family to take on higher education. I finished my bachelor's degree in business management here in like three classes, which is like 2 months left. And then I'm applying to law school in the second week of December.
What kind of law do you want to get into?
Whatever makes me the most money, guys.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Probably like some corporate stuff, you know, like do big law, maybe patent law, maybe try to work for a startup at first. But then eventually I want to help people, because like I was adopted, and like I was adopted into a very crappy situation, as you guys can see. So I want to try to help people that are in the same situation as me. But I want to do it on a whole another level. I want to be like the McDonald's of helping people, if that makes sense. Like how McDonald's has changed the waist size of Americans over the last 60-70 years. I want to do the same thing with Hearts and Minds, but I'm not naive. I understand that I need to make some money for me and my wife first, but
you gotta have the drive,
awesome,
man.
That's awesome.
That's all. Yeah.
Like, exactly that.
I'll tell you what, man. You graduate with a law degree, I'll buy you a Big Mac.
10-4.
Yeah, there you go.
Awesome. That's what I've had to overcome. One last little thing. One other thing I had to overcome, and this happened very recently. Sorry, guys. I was a tower climber for T-Mobile for 8 years. And I've always been told that I should be a salesman, or I should do something where I talk to people. And I never agreed with anybody, because I've always been making good money as a tower climber. I recently jumped into doing sales, and I ended up having a $20,000 month for myself.
Damn.
So I got over that fear of like not having, you know, that hourly rate. And I sold $109,000 in like indoor window treatments and stuff like that last month. But that's a $19,000.
See, to me, it's vice versa. I could be the sales guy. I could not climb that damn tower.
Yeah.
I couldn't. Yeah, I could never do it. I could never do it. What have you had to overcome to get to where you are today? We've got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.